Good evening, boys and girls. I'm about to say good morning. I've done that already in the evening. And I figured I'm having a good day if I say good morning. But anyway, good evening. How many of you believe in angels? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever seen an angel? If you don't really know. Maybe you've seen it, didn't know what an angel, huh? Well, what do angels do? Do they help people keep safe? Is that what they do? He really started talking about little children, what Jesus said. And Jesus said that they're angels who always behold the face of my Father. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about angels, really, and the work they do. And one thing they do is keep us safe. And every one of you, God, He loves you, and He things that are watching over you. Remember that when you get a little afraid or something. I was thinking about some things in the Bible that talks about what angels did. They brought food and water to Elijah, and he was running for his life from Jezebel. She had threatened to kill him. She met it. He knew it. And an angel, he was exhausted and tired. And an angel came and fed him and gave him water. And an angel, remember the story about the angel delivering Peter when he was in prison? And opened the doors, set him free. It was a wonderful thing. And something I'm sure he never forgot. God has many angels. Jesus said he could call on thousands of angels if he wanted to help him. So we don't really know exactly how many angels, but there's many angels. Jesus alluded to that in the Bible. In Hebrews 12:22, the Bible talks about an innumerable company. Big words always kind of hard for me. That means it's just a number that we can't begin to. We saw them, we couldn't begin to count them. Innumerable company of angels. Too many for us to count. Like I said, Jesus talked about angels caring for little children, about they're there in heaven holding the face of his Father. In other words, when he says, go, do this, do that, they're going. And maybe coming to help you. When I was about 10, how many here are 10 or close to 10? Okay, fair amount of you. I was going along with my daddy, those houses, and I wasn't probably the best worker then, but I watched, and occasionally I would get him something, a tool or something. And it was a garage. It wasn't filled in, and it was probably 9 feet down. And I was leaning against a brace. It was nice weather, warm weather, and I was leaning against it. I can still remember standing there and just not doing anything. Felt just a little bit drowsy. And next thing I know, I had this floating sensation. I do remember that much. I was floating. You ever been floating? It didn't last long. I'm sure it didn't. And the next thing that I remember, the whole event, was hearing somebody moaning. Well, after a while, I discovered that was me that was doing it. I was the one that was moaning. And anyway, my dad and somebody helped him came down there and got aboard and stuck me on it, carried me up to the vehicle, stuck me in there for a little while. Finally decided, I guess, to take me in and get them days, didn't run to the hospital just right away. They knew I was alive. And anyway, I had a big bump on my head for a while, and so I know my head struck the ground, and I was a mass of bruises that summer for a good while. But anyway, when we went to the hospital, there was something that a nurse said I never forgot. They checked me out, no broken bones. I was one sore fellow. But no broken bones, just beat up and bruised. The nurse said your guardian angel was watching over you. I never forgot that. Years later, when I was around 30, and I had quite a few falls, but my time was building houses. Well, this time I was on a roof, and we didn't normally do shingles. We'd do some occasions. God, he really wanted us to do the shingles too, so we had a roof jack. Maybe y'all don't know what that is, but put some nails in and just holding on. And I was standing there, and all of a sudden it was a steep roof. All of a sudden it cut loose, and I was going fast, really fast. And I don't know how so much can go through your mind at one time, but it was, though the Lord said there's scaffolding down there, and I had known there was, and there was two boards on that scaffolding. I couldn't see, and there's two boards, and they're spread apart. Spread your feet, you'll come down on them just fine. Still gives me chills to think of it. And so something said, you know, open your feet. But I didn't feel like I did anything, and my feet just went. And then the next thing I remember feeling like something had hold my legs, hold my ankles, and was just guiding me down. And I was flying off the roof. You know, normally you're not. I came down. Just like something pulled me down right onto the boards, and one was here and one was there, and my feet were spread, and I wasn't seeing nothing. Something with the air, I don't know. But I came down there like a bird. I didn't even begin to feel like I was going to tip over and fall. And the man we were building the house for happened to be around there, my older man. He said, just like a cat. Just like a cat. And I knew I wasn't a cat. I was a lot younger, but there was no way I could even begin to try that. And to this day, I know God's angels were working in my behalf. Still amazed at how that went. But I remember after standing there and getting down, I said, well, about right away, I just said, praise the Lord. I knew it wasn't me. Well, there was other times I could have been hurt really bad. It was like something told me what to do, and I did it. I obeyed that voice, and I did it, and I was spared harm. So remember, Phil, there was one time that I didn't obey the voice. Now, I'll just tell you that one. I had a tarp on the back of a truck, and it had a weight on it, and I didn't think it would blow off. Something told me that. What if that car blew out and looked back and covered the vehicle? I didn't listen. And I was going up the road, and I thought surely it'd be okay. And all of a sudden I looked out and here this tarp comes out, poof. And it went right over the front window. He was driving with two children in there. Fortune panicked, she slowed down, the tarp started coming out to see what she's doing and went off the road. And I couldn't hardly get done apologizing to her. I think the angels were keeping them safe as well. And I learned a lesson that, we need to try to practice safety, but sometimes we do get in trouble. And I'm just thankful the Lord has spared me different times. Never forget, there's angels that are holding the face of God, and He is instructing them and taking care of you in times of trouble. Lord, we thank you for these children. We know that you care about each one of them. We know that your angels are there to comfort them, care for them. We just pray your continued blessing on them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go back.
My wife, she says I have a one-track mind. That's why I got two things to focus on. It doesn't always go the best for me, but we'll try to switch. But Even, and I know I'm kind of like that, even when we're sitting in a group talking about something and people, I just can't understand why they jump from this to the other one, and I just can't hardly get off of it. I don't know if any of the rest of you like that or not. Maybe Nathan back there, my cousin, is. I don't know. But, yeah. Tonight I want to talk about bitterness. Titled message, Bitterness, a Destructive Cancer. And I'm not really planning on talking so much about cancer, but a little bit just to see why I call this a destructive cancer. Well, cancer is a word that strikes fear in the heart of many today. The doctor walked in and told you you had cancer. I'm sure it would trouble most of us because we know how destructive it can be. It strikes old and young. I even heard of a baby born with it, and how that happened. But anyway, it does. It strikes whether you're young or old, weak or strong. It can strike the saint or the sinner. No respecter of persons. It's a destroyer. That cancer is a destroyer that starts out as a small tumor and quickly spreads its deadly cells to different parts of the body. Often it destroys faster than the body can repair, and it may go undetected. They say all of us have cancer from time to time. Our body fights it off, cancer cells. It may go undetected until widespread in the body. But often cancer, especially in our day, that is promptly recognized and treated, is not fatal. But the longer it goes undetected, the deadlier often it becomes. There's many different kinds of cancer, but knowing the symptoms helps in early detection. I'm told cancer begins, and I read this somewhere, cancer begins when something transforms a living cell into a cancer cell, reduces its control over orderly growth and function, and transmits this abnormality to succeeding cell generations. And our immune system, a lot of times, like I say, it will normally defend our body and against anything foreign, such as getting rid of cancer cells, but before they get a foothold. But at times, for unknown reason, our immune system doesn't get the job done. Bitterness is a cancer to our spiritual life. It's also very destructive. If left undetected, undealt with, it will become both deadly to us and others. And like cancer, when bitterness gets a good foothold in one's life, it quickly spreads to other areas, can be hard to cure. And I did want to say that I did get some help years ago, actually, in thinking about this subject. John Copeland's, I believe, was a book he had on bitterness and helped me understand some better. And I know from my own experience, yes, it's real. I remember one time I would have told you I wasn't bitter at them guys and some older men, and there was a I would have said there was no problem between us. There had been some things in the past. And but yet, I was going through some things and dealing with some stuff physically. And it was because, I believe, partly because I was allowing that to hang on. And one night, the Lord revealed that to me. And I brokenly told him, I want to love everyone. I want to love everybody. And I haven't always been perfect at that, but that was my heart's desire. And I think it took a while, but from that time on, things began to improve. Ephesians 4:31 has this to say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's what God wants from his children. He wants peaceful relationships, and we struggle At least if you're anywhere like we are in the South, we struggle so much with that at times. God wants his children to have peaceful relationships. In the world, yeah, that's to be expected, but it shouldn't, where it's not peaceful, but with God's children, it should be peaceful relationships. One definition of bitterness is strong feelings of hatred, resentment, cynicism. Cynicism, or a cynical person who believes people are motivated in all their action only by selfishness, denying the sincerity of people's motives and action. He or she did that just to make themselves look good. Well, we need to be careful with such things. Such people, cynical person, a very critical person, it's hard for them to make friends and to hold on friends. Bitterness is a blend of these strong feelings of hatred, resentment, and cynicism. Some such feelings may be towards an individual. At times it can be towards a group of people or toward God. People get bitter towards God. It may be a result of some wrong done. Sometimes it's only an imagined wrong. There's nothing ever intended there to be wrong, but they imagined it. Bitterness is basically a pattern of blame. Remember that, the pattern of blame. Let's say somebody would say some unkind words to me in front of some other ones there looking on, and I'm just really hurt. Later that night, as I reflect on what took place, I begin to become very angry as I think on how unfair and how unkind, how hurtful what was said and had been done. And maybe thinking, you know, I've always been nice to them. I've been good to them. Why are they treating me like that? That's the beginning of blame, reviewing hurtful things. Start just reviewing it over and over, thinking about hurtful things that have been done to me. And as we keep day after day mentally going over that, it hurt us. And I know we can't shut our minds down, but we can deal with what's going on there with God's help. We can't always do away with the memory, but we can work on our attitude towards it. Like I say, we keep reviewing the wrong. Maybe thinking about how good we've been to them, the pattern of blame becomes more and more entrenched. As time goes on, the mental pattern I have established towards that person becomes an attitude. I develop an attitude towards them. With my bitter attitude, I begin to stockpile any little hurts that come my way, because all I hear or see is clouded by my bitter attitude that I have come to have. It may be only imagined, like I say, it might be only imagined hurts. Some with this attitude will go about willing to tell anyone who will listen just how badly they've been wrong. They go to this person, that person, and they tell them that whole story again. Don't do that. They bottle it up. Neither one is good. They bottle up in their mind and continue to feed on the hurts that they receive. And a pattern of blame can become a person's security. Amid wrong attitudes and forgiving, the offender would remove the security they find in blame shifting. They want to blame others for the troubled life they have. I'm the way I am because of him or her. Self-pity becomes a security blanket. We keep on blaming our troubles on others. Keeps us from dealing with our own problem. Our bitterness can become our shield. Such bitterness becomes very hard to deal with and work with. Hard to root out. Proverbs 18:19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. But I thank God that with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26 tells us that. Thank God there's hope. God's convicting spirit can move and work. I've seen it happen. And touch that life and that has allowed bitterness to take control. It can be victory over it. Bitterness can be hidden for a time, but it will spill forth. What's in the heart and time is going to show up. If the cup is full of bitter water, only bitter water will spill, as somebody said one time. Like cancer, bitterness allowed to grow will spread. Let's turn to Hebrews, maybe if you want to look at Hebrews 12, verse 14. 15. Hebrews 12, verse 14 and 15. What does God have to say here about it? Fall of peace with all men in holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We are to follow peace with all men. I don't see any exception there. All men, not just the pleasant ones, all men. Bitterness and peace cannot coexist. Peace and holiness, verse 14 brings out, both a must if we want to see the Lord. Romans 3:14 speaks of a man whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Verse 17, and the way of peace have they not known. In verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And what I've just read here in Hebrews 12:15 warns against defaulting from the grace of God. When we fail to give God first place, when we lose our first love, as Revelation 2:4 speaks of, we become a prime target, I believe, for a root of bitterness to spring up. We fail to keep our spiritual immune system healthy. When we drift spiritually, Satan will see to us. There'll be something come across our path and for bitterness to take root. In the church at times, we see somebody losing out spiritually, and often somewhere along the way, bitterness has set in and it's come spewing out. Satan, I believe, knows if he can stir us to anger, resentment, and critical attitudes, then he has us where he can control us. Remember, without peace and holiness, no man will see the Lord. And bitterness will sap us of our spiritual energy. Bitterness will cause you to lose godly principles we once stood for. Man who would never have thought about taking somebody to court, law, and ended up doing so because they were hurt or wronged and become bitter over it. Instead of turning that hurt over to the Lord and forgiven, they became bitter and struck back. Bitterness will change your desires. God's work, fellowship with other believers become unimportant, and a lack of faithful church attendance often follows. Bitterness will cloud your ability to understand truth. God's word will have a lot of gray areas for you, a confusion of what is no longer known, what's right and wrong. Sadder yet, it won't stop with you being troubled by it. Hebrews 12, that I read here, verse 15, and thereby many be defiled, not just you, many be defiled. Bitterness is defiling to many around you. Bitterness, like a root is often very much alive, even though no one can see it. It's like an old tree stump. It can sit there for a long time and there ain't no life. You don't see nothing. And some rain comes and new shoots spread out. I had to think how many have said they're at peace before communion, but hidden away is a deep-seated bitter attitude towards another. Church leaders don't always know that, don't see it. Others don't, maybe, but it's there at times. Many think because the emotion of anger is past that now have peace, You got angry back here, and you went over it and chewed over it, and you finally just seemed like that anger was past, but there was still bitterness towards that person that was never dealt with. Anger undealt with and allowed to rage unchecked often has set the stage for bitterness to set in, even though anger is now past. It may be like that old stump, the roots may be hidden below the surface till the right circumstances cause it to shoot forth. Maybe somebody just talks about that person and you just start spewing out all your bitterness about that person. Well, it defiles many. Our bitterness spreads into the lives of many others, creating conflict, confusion, misunderstandings. Bitterness has a host of attendant sins, such as malice, grudges, ill will, suspicion, slander, backbiting, gossip, murmuring, blame shifting, self-pity. Someone having no inner attitude more destructive than that of bitterness. It poisons the heart and robs it of joy. It shrivels the mind to think in the same dreary cycles day after day. He's to blame. She's over and over. Proverbs 18:14, a wounded spirit, who can bear it? It's hard to help such a person. It's hard to even be around such a person at times. They've been hurt and didn't deal with it, and they just become bitter. Bitterness can become a stronghold, not only in your life, but in your children's life. Bitterness can be passed on. If it couldn't be, you wouldn't hear of these long-running family feuds that you hear about sometimes. And it's not out there in the hill country. It's other places as well. Many today are living in bondage to their bitterness. Their lives have become just full of resentment, ill will towards others. It continues to pull them deeper and deeper into their self-made prison. A critical spirit, I believe, gives witness to the inner misery of their souls. Yes, bitterness can become a stronghold in your life and the lives of those of your children who witness your anger and bitterness spewing forth from your lips. It takes a repentant heart, a willingness to confess our sin before God and man, and a willingness to completely yield our life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I believe, to experience victory over it. Ephesians 4:26-27, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. When anger rises, be careful, sin is not far away. And God has created us with emotions. God himself, you see it in scripture, emotions. Sometimes he was grieved over the sin of man, and other times rejoice. But God does have emotions. He's given us emotions. And he's created us with emotions. Our emotions respond differently at times because of the situations we face in life. We can be sad or happy. We be sympathetic towards those who have maybe experienced a loss and angry at maybe some wrong that had been done someone. Emotions are not wrong in themselves, they're God-given. Yet we are responsible to keep them under control. Be angry and sin not, or in your anger do not sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let your anger burn unchecked. Don't put off dealing with it. Don't rest. Don't put off till tomorrow dealing with it. Don't give anger a foothold by waiting to deal with it. I went to bed somewhat angry already over something. I said somewhat angry, maybe really angry. I don't know. But years ago, I remember how hard it was. Usually it was something I took care of before, but there was a few times at least I think I went to bed angry. And it was hard the next day then to deal with. It just got harder. The longer you put it off, the harder it gets. Deal with it. Deal with it before the going down of the sun. Deal with your wrath. Don't give anger a foothold by waiting to deal with it. All anger must be given over to God. We must not hold on to it, even if our anger burns over sinful acts of wicked men and women. We must let go of it and give it to God. Much sin has been done in the heat of anger. It was the emotion Cain did not control, and it moved him to kill Abel, his brother. Anger left to burn destroys the mind or inner peace. It will change our disposition, just like a different person. It wound our spirit, and it can harm or destroy our bodies. Medical studies, I understand, prove anger is harmful to the body in many ways. How should we as Christians work to control our anger? Well, modern psychologists, at least I've read, I've never been one to talk to him, but I've read it. They suggest nonviolent expressions of anger. I have read some of that already. They say don't hold your anger inside. Doesn't that sound like good counsel? Get it off your chest. And I've read some of these things. It's kind of ridiculous. Instead of beating up your brother, beat a pillow or a boxing bag. Just get it out. Draw a picture of him and tear it up. I read that one time. Somebody you're angry with. Run them out. Release that anger. But I understand that venting anger, and I would agree with it, even in nonviolent ways can intensify anger patterns. Nonviolent marches are an example. The underlying feelings actually grow stronger down the road and they come forth and others are hurt. And I remember I was in public school. I watched, I guess it took place back in March, the March on Washington, D.C. in 1963, led by Martin Luther King Jr. It's said to have given an outlet for the anger. It wasn't that they were shooting people. It was a nonviolent march. It gave an outlet for the anger and bitterness of many black Americans who were as the white Americans. They were angry. It set the back of the bus. They had separate water fountains. The South was especially not too long after we were down there. There was some places there they said that they did some repair work, and it wasn't that long. They found these signs and separate fountains and things. Yeah, there was a lot of anger over all this, the way they were treated. Well, that march gave an outlet for their anger, but that anger and bitterness continued to burn. And still burns today because marches don't put out the fire. They only allow the release of the building pressure. Now, I don't know if y'all are ever having men's meetings here or not, but we've had some in the past. But, you know, some say, well, you know, you got a problem. You just get together and just, well, people may just blow up or whatever, but then you just deal with it and work through it. Well, is that the way God wants his children to act? We got things that trouble us, and we just come together and we just blow up and vent our anger, and then everything gets better? No, I don't believe so. Bitterness is a savage beast in man that can only be put to death with the help of Almighty God. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. It is wise to control anger. It is unwise to bend it or to let it take charge of our life. Ephesians 4:31 tells us to put away all, bitterness, anger, wrath. And praise God, he doesn't ask more of us than what he will enable us to do. He has asked and he will enable us to do that. We give it over to him. Esau hated Jacob because he had by deceitfulness taking the blessing from him. And in Genesis 27:41, I believe it is, and Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, or my dad's, close to dying. And then will I slay my brother Jacob. How terrible to hear that. Two brothers and the problem that was there. The bitterness over this wrong was so great that Jacob was forced to flee from home because Esau was planning to kill him. Joseph's brothers were bitter towards him because he was the favorite of their father. Their bitterness led them to sell him into slavery. Hard to imagine, but that's what happened. And they lived with the guilt of that sin for years. The Pharisees' bitterness drove them to seek to take the life of Christ, the sinless one, the king that they said they were watching for. Do we harbor any hidden bitterness? Some questions to ask yourself. And, I've thought on these years gone by, I found myself, arguing with somebody that's not even there. You're just in your mind, you're going back over something and arguing. Do you find yourself continually mentally reviewing painful things that others have been the cause of, or at least we think they have? Do you find yourself arguing with particular people in your mind, going over old arguments and inventing new ones? In the past, have you been deeply angry with anyone? What have you done with that anger? Does that experience keep coming to mind, maybe affecting how we relate to that person? Do we avoid them? Is there people that you see in Walmart coming down the church aisle and you just slide out? Well, I'll have to admit, there's been times, some things that I don't know that I necessarily had bitterness, but I was a little bit shy because of some things I was afraid might come spewing forth. But bitterness is a pattern of blame. Forgiveness is a pattern of release. We set the offender free in our hearts. We give up the right to strike back physically, verbally, mentally, and emotionally. And in Romans 12:19, God says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. And remember that. You have no right to it. Well, maybe tonight you're struggling with some bitterness, I don't know, towards your brother, sister, neighbor. You know your heart, and God also knows your heart. Try forgiveness. You'll set yourself free and experience God's forgiveness, his peace. More likely, you'll even live longer as God gives life and breath. And make friends with others, and most of all, make friends with God. Remember, if we want God's forgiveness, we must be willing to forgive others who hurt us. James 1:20 tells us, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And we're actually told, and I don't know if I mentioned that, but in the Lord's Prayer we're told that we want God's forgiveness, we must forgive others. Maybe tonight you want to acknowledge, yes, it's there. I realize I've struggled with bitterness and I want to have victory. I don't think we'll give an invitation song, but I want to just give time here. If you want to acknowledge that, and I think it will be a help to you if you're willing to do that, and just stand to your feet and acknowledge that. And you definitely need to, I believe, talk with somebody, and that can help you in the problem you're facing with bitterness. I don't know if there's anyone here like it tonight or not, but you can have victory. You can, with the Lord's help, you can get on top of it. I know hurts can run deep, but you don't have to give in, be held in bondage by bitterness. So if there is someone, we'll just give you opportunity now to stand to your feet and acknowledge that you want to find victory.